Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, this is Lydia Chris, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Mark Striegel, John Astronomy, the Talking Metal Podcast, coming to you from the Silver Spacecraft. I'm Bud Friendly, and now your hosts, Mark and John.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. I'm hanging out here with Mark Striegel and our very special guest, Lydia Chris, my best friend from many years ago. We have hung out and we have just been friends ever since I moved to New York City.
I have a little history with Lydia too, which we'll fill you guys in on. And Lydia, thank you so much for joining us on the Talking Metal Podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Cool. We're going to talk to Lydia all about Sealed with a Kiss. We're going to talk to Lydia all about all things Kiss in just a few minutes. Guys, remember, the best way to support the podcast is to go to talkingmetal.com and use the PayPal donation button to send us in a donation. You can also use the Amazon links, which you guys know all about. And of course, any song you hear on today's show, you can purchase by going to talkingmetal.com and using the iTunes links to open your iTunes. And that, of course, helps us. We get kickbacks on these from the vendors like iTunes and Amazon. We're also going to have links up in today's show notes where you can go and purchase Lydia's book, Sealed with a Kiss, which we're going to talk to her about momentarily. Real quick, I wanted to mention there was a little scandal with listening to Talking Metal on Android phones. Somebody on Twitter was complaining about that, and you guys, numerous emails came in. I'm going to read two of them. Hi, Mark. In regards to listening to the podcast on Android phone. Oh, okay, because I got headphones on. Okay. Hi, Mark. In regards to listening to the podcast on Android phones, I use an app called Beyond Pod that is available for free from the Android App Store. It has an ad feed feature that lets you search by podcast name. Cool. So Don from Cleveland sent that one in, and Jason on Facebook actually says, to answer the question, you can listen to Talking Metal on the Android using the free podcast app Stitcher, which we know that we're on. Cool.
Cool, Mark. So let us reintroduce Lydia. Lydia, how are you? It's great to have you.
I'm fine. Good seeing you, John and Mark.
Yeah.
It is great to see you again, Lydia. When I first moved to New York, you helped me out tremendously by renting me a room in your apartment. You had a nice apartment. You still have it, same place.
I'm still in the same place.
And
yes.
It's actually in the neighborhood here where we are tonight. And I just owe you a big thanks for that. So thank you.
It was a pleasure. You were one of my favorite roommates.
and there were other roommates.
I know drove you crazy, but
I loved being in the city. I loved living with you.
You weren't there much. You just slept there.
Yeah, that's pretty much true. Yeah. And I know before me, wasn't there the guy from
Space Hog? Yeah.
Royalston.
Didn't he live in your place?
Who?
The guy from Space Hog who wound up marrying Liv Tyler.
Didn't he live there before me?
Was that like Royston or something?
Yes, he did. Yeah. But I didn't know that he was. I forgot. He never even slept there.
Really?
Oh, really?
That was the weird thing. He was only there a couple of days. I don't know. It was very strange. I knew him through his girlfriend.
Okay.
And I didn't know he married Liv Tyler.
I thought so. Yes. Did he marry
yes,
Liv
he
Tyler?
Married.
Oh, Liv was not his girlfriend at the time.
Yeah, no. he married, but he had a child with her, and divorced her.
Oh, really? Because his girlfriend had something to do with Robert Stigwood's organization. I think her father worked for Stigwood or something, but she also had something to do with Sean Lennon.
Ah, okay. Robert Stigwood, of course, the famous manager who worked with
the Bee Gees
and Clapton, wow, too, I believe.
I'm not sure. But yeah. But she was like Sean Lennon's big sister in school. So, you know, he went to this the ethical cultural school on Central Park West, and she was his big sister. Like, I guess, you know, when they start, there's somebody that's a little older in a different grade, and they, you know, I met her through Bob Gruen, who I work for, you know, Bob Gruen, the famous Lennon photographer,
yes, who took the cool picture that says with John Lennon with the New York City shirt,
T-shirt, and also Dressed to Kill.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
So, he went to Japan with you guys too, right?
He went to Japan both times.
Wow.
Both times,
very
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I still work for Bob.
Excellent.
Yeah, he won't let me quit.
And Lydia, besides being a celebrity in the Kiss world and being Peter's ex-wife and having the Sealed with the Kiss book, you are actually a professional photographer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was I guess it was about 20 years I worked as a photographer. I worked in a photo agency. I took photos. Bob Gruen set me up with that too. You know, Bob Gruen was one of the photographers I looked up to, and so was Barry Levine. You know, those were both Kiss photographers. And after I started working in the photo agency, I mean, I had many hats in that photo agagency. I was a photographer. I was her bookkeeper, and also a good friend of hers, and we used to travel together. You know, Virginia Lowe owned the agency, but Bob Gruen introduced me to her.
Interesting. Cool. Now, Lydia, you just got back from Finland. Let's talk about what was going on over there.
Yeah, Finland was great. I mean, unfortunately, my luggage was lost, but, you know, I managed.
Did they get it? Did you get it back?
I got it back eventually. Yeah, on my way home. So I packed for nothing. Yeah. And luckily, I bought a couple of T-shirts when I was in Paris connecting flights. And basically, I had my makeup with me. But I borrowed stuff from Joanne Scarlett.
Right.
Richie Scarlett's wife, and you know, he was Ace's guitar player in Fraley's Comet. Right. And you know, I made do. I was only there 2 days, so it wasn't that
right.
big of a deal. It was in and out. I mean, I flew more than I was actually there.
Wow.
So, maybe about the same.
Yeah, I was just on one of the various KISS websites, and it said recap of the convention over there, and I went, wow, Lydia went over there.
Yeah, I took pictures, and they really, really, I mean, their stage show is bigger than, you know, bigger than ever.
Wow.
And I was very impressed. It's the first time I saw KISS in about 15 years.
Wow. So it's the first time you've seen them with Tommy in
yes.
Ace's makeup
yes.
and Eric
yes.
and Peter. Yeah.
Yes.
And how do you feel about that, those two wearing
it
the classic makeup?
It doesn't bother me. I mean, Gene's a businessman, and he was smart enough to get Peter and Ace to sell them. I don't know if Ace actually sold his makeup, but the last time I spoke to Ace, he said he didn't. So I don't, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, he, I believe, licenses it.
Yeah,
to
he
them.
Licenses it. Yeah, that's
so
what
then
he told
he gets
me.
Something
that's
from
what
them
he told me the
it,
last
yeah.
time I spoke to him about it. And that was, you know, back about probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
But Peter definitely sold his makeup.
Wow.
And that's, you know, that's Peter being stupid. What could I say?
So, I wanted to just rewind a little bit because I want to talk about the Sealed with the Kiss book, but I also want to start out by talking about Lydia and I meeting, like, literally probably around, like, 1991 or so in New York, and we used to go to all kind of different concerts together, and I always tell this story. I say, when I first moved to New York, I didn't know anyone, like, at all, like, and I met Lydia. And I had, you know, had met Ace previously. And Lydia really always, like, invited me up when it was a special day and made me food and all kind of cool stuff.
I've been to John's apartment. Yeah. He's been to my apartment. Yeah. I've cooked for him. I mean, yeah. we're very good friends. We used to always go out, you know, because we both live in the city. We'd always go out to the China Club together, and, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And I used to run into him all the time, and, you know, and backstage at Ace's concerts. You know?
And we used to go to shows together, and it was really fun.
All right. I've actually been to your parents' house and slept in your parents' bed.
Yep, exactly. That's how close Lydia and I, we just had like great time. And I always tell the story that when I first came to New York, I was like a little kid away from home, and Lydia was so cool to me. And I still remember some of her best. All Lydia's food is amazing, by the way. But Paul Stanley, you told me, was in this like cookbook and used your Caesar salad.
My Caesar,
recipe. Yeah. And didn't Michael Monroe like your Indian stuff?
Mike Monroe had dinner at my place, and I'm sure I don't know.
I think you made like samosas or something.
I'm a good Indian cook. Yeah. I got a cookbook from Ian Hunter's wife.
Wow.
Ian Hunter was my best man at my second wedding, and Mike Monroe worked with my second husband. So it was around the same time, and I used to cook Indian food, or I still do, but I don't do it as often. But I make great, great Indian food. I mean, I make great Italian food, I make great Indian food, and I make great Chinese food. I took a course in Chinese cooking, too.
That's cool, Lydia. Yeah. I have to try that. Now, to this day, I still get little containers, these plastic things that you get, like wonton soup in. And because Lydia taught me this, I make a big thing of sauce, and then I put it in
freeze
there
it.
And then freeze it.
Yeah.
Because Lydia could just pop out, like, one of these little things, and you got, like, homemade, like, amazing sauce. Like,
wow.
You can make pasta and stuff.
Yeah, someday I would love to bottle my sauce. And
Lydia, that you got to do that. I mean, people would go nuts over that. Because here's the thing. Some people, like, you know, some celebrities do, like Bumblefoot does Bumblefoot hot sauce. But here's the thing. Lydia, you are a real cook. I'm not saying Bumblefoot doesn't know how to make hot sauce, because maybe he's a hot sauce expert. Lydia, you really, truly know how to do it.
Marky Ramone
did sauce.
Something, yeah. And I would love to just, you know, work it out maybe with... This place, and
this is I don't know if we should say this, but we will. This restaurant we're in, I guess, is co-owned or owned by Lady Gaga.
No, it's owned.
Yeah. Owned. Okay. Owned. So it's a very high. I would call it kind of high class Italian joint.
Yeah.
And Lady Gaga is one of the owners, which you wouldn't really know from being in here. There are a few little hints, like there's a Dirty Pearls poster in the front, which is a New York City band that she likes.
Well, I know she likes Kiss.
Yeah.
I gave her one of the Ace books, you know, through her mom.
Excellent. Cool. And one quick little story that I wanted to share when I was living with Lydia, renting a room in her apartment. I came home one night and I came into the apartment, and there with Lydia and her boyfriend at the time was the one and only Ace.
It
was sitting there, and I had a Alice Cooper iron-on T-shirt, and I remember you were like, tell Ace where you got that Alice Cooper iron-on, and I was talking to Ace, and it was just so cool, because here I was this kid, really, you know, my early 20s, I don't remember, and coming home and being able to meet my idol in the place I was currently
living.
That's a story I tell quite often.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm just oblivious to this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many stories. Mark, I'm sorry, I'm going to butt in. See, we're now vying to tell our Lydia stories back to Lydia and all the Talking Metal listeners. But so the funniest thing is Lydia has this couch. And I was just telling somebody about the couch the other day. I'm still... How many years later, 20-some years later, talking about Lydia's couch? She has this couch that you can sit on, and you just automatically lay down, and then you will fall asleep. It is like the most comfortable couch ever.
Wanted to sell that, and I've been told don't do it by my second husband, don't do it by my ex-boyfriend, they said it is so comfortable, it's unbelievable. But you have no idea how many stars have sat on that couch.
Yeah, I know. Yes, sat on it or slept on it. That's one of the coolest things.
Slept and sat.
I love that couch.
Ace was sitting on that couch.
Ace has fallen. He has been taken. literally from clubs at night, and at 3 in the morning, the doorbell rings, and it's Ace being carried in. This is the years when he did drink, but now he doesn't. And slept there, and he'd be gone by the time I'd wake up in the morning. Yeah, but that was you know, he's my buddy, so what can I say?
The one other story about living with Lydia that I quickly want to share is one day I remember Lydia hanging up the phone and saying, that was Gene Simmons. He was talking to me about photos for a new book he's putting together, a book which would become Kistry. And you were in a lot of contact with the Kiss guys back when I was living with you regarding that book. Did you supply a lot of photos to that book?
Well, the thing is, Gene wanted me to do an interview, but at that point, I was selling photos of Kiss, and he stopped me from selling them, which was fine. You know, I mean, I wasn't making, you know, I mean, if I made $3,000, I was lucky. But we didn't have such a great conversation. And by the end of it, I didn't want to be. He wanted me to be interviewed for Kistry, and I didn't want to be interviewed. So we kind of had a little bit of a spat. But basically, I did eventually make up with Gene, and I did let him use any photo he wanted that was already out in public. That had already been published.
Right.
So I let him, you know, use anything he wanted, and they wound up using it as a collage in the back of the book.
Oh, very cool.
And I remember seeing your name in history.
Yeah, my name is there, but the weirdest thing is, my name is, like, not even near my photos.
I remember that, where, like, the names were all listed.
I worked in a photo agency, and, you know, you're supposed to put the name near the photos, or at least put all the names together in one spot if you're not going to do it. But don't put it on a page where it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I think they did that to some other photographers, too. They just put the names in, like,
Bob,
random
they
places.
They did it to Bob Gruen. They did it to Chuck Pullen. Wow. You know, we were all told by Gene, if you want a photo in the book, you know, you can have it. But, you know, you can't tell me how much to pay you. Gene says, I will pay you X amount of dollars, and you could have any amount of photos. So that X amount of dollars was actually minimal for the amount of photos he used of mine. I told him to use everything. I mean, Bob said use one photo.
Wow.
Chuck said maybe use two. You know, so I was very generous with them, and I said as long as you don't use anything that's not in print already, and he did. Of course, he did.
Oh, he did.
He wanted to pay for it, eventually.
Very interesting. Now, your book came out in 2006, and it has since been released as a second edition with bonus material. How long did it take you to put this book together? Was this something that had been, in the works for many, many years, or can you talk a little bit about the backstory behind Sealed with a Kiss?
Okay. Originally, I never had any intention of doing a book. I mean, the reason why I collected everything was to sit around in my old age on a rocking chair with Peter, and we would just, like, reminisce about the good old days. That never happened, and I used to bring my scrapbooks to the Kiss conventions, and the fans used to go berserk. They went nuts seeing the old photos, of Kiss without makeup and all. So I was pushed by Kiss fans to do a book. I mean, I had someone that was a publisher. He basically published a few books, small-time publisher, and then he went out of business. And, he went bankrupt. And so I had already started I had done my text, and that took me about a year and a half to do. I mean, I was working a full-time job. My father had cancer, so I was going back and forth, I mean, I would edit on the train. I would do my, my little editing on the way home, and then I would start all over when I got home. And so I finally presented him. I started in, I think, the beginning of 98, and then by the end of 97, and then by 99, I presented my manuscript. And like I said, he went out. He went bankrupt, so I had to get everything back. He already had some of my photos that were already scanned but never paid for. So I hooked up with the guy that scanned my stuff, because you know he deserves what he did, and he winds up being one of my best advocates. You know, he just basically guided me through the whole thing. Dave Snowden, who's a great friend of mine still to this day, and he would scan the stuff, even though he scanned a bunch of stuff. I eventually had him scan more, but it took me about a year and a half to do the manuscript, and then it took me a year to find people. It took me a year to raise some money, because it's a lot of money to do a book, and then the whole work took me probably 3.5 years. So,
Lydia, I want you guys to know, Lydia really, from doing this project, because she was hands-on in so many aspects of putting a book out, really knows how to publish a book. I mean, all the details from the artwork to the legal stuff to how to write the text to, like, how to, you know, what paper it's going to be printed on and all that kind of stuff.
You have no idea what you have to go through. Yeah. I mean, the weight of the paper,
right?
The color content, what the strings on the binding should be, what color they should be.
Amazing,
I mean, it's a lot of different stuff, and then you also have to go through the Library of Congress, and you have to. There's a thing where you have to kind of secure not only your photos but your name, your copyright, that whole thing. So it's there's a lot of different legal stuff, but I found that out because my editors had done a book previous to me, a KISS book, believe it or not, and they walked me through it. I mean, I had no idea, all the stuff you have to do. But like I said, it took me a year to do the actual putting the book together, and it was almost a year to the day that actually maybe 2.5 years it took me to do the whole book, excluding the time where I was looking for someone to work with, talking with lawyers, excluding all that, raising the money. But I'd say 2.5 years was the entire thing. But I don't, and that's from morning to night. I told my family, you're not going to see me for 1 year.
Wow.
And they didn't.
So, Lydia, your book obviously has a lot of great pictures and stories about the, I would say, 70s-era KISS. Have the guys in KISS read the book and seen the book? Do you know if Gene, Paul...
I'm sure Gene did.
Ace, and for that... Well, Peter mentions it in his book, so we know he has seen it.
Well,
but
all right,
go ahead.
I've sent the book to Ace, so I know Ace has the book. Okay, Paul bought the book.
Paul bought the book.
And I heard he bought it after a convention where someone was supposed to buy it for him, and they forgot, so they had to send it overnight because they were having a meeting about my book.
Oh my gosh, that would scare me a little bit.
Well,
KISS is having a meeting about my book.
It did, but the thing is, it turned out fine because Tommy Thayer bought my book. And he's the one that did KISS-tory. I mean, he's the one that was in charge. And he emailed me back, and he said, I did a wonderful job. I gave Eric Singer my book. Peter must have bought the book. I don't know. I told Gene, if you ever want anything from me, don't pay for it. Just, because that's another story. Okay. I said, just ask me. And he didn't ask me. So I'm sure he has the book.
Paul has the book, and there was a KISS meeting about it. I'm sure he's seen it. Yeah.
But I'm sure Gene has one for the library, for the museum.
For the museum.
So how did you hear that there was going to be a KISS meeting about Sealed with a Kiss?
I heard it from a friend of mine that actually was supposed to. He's now passed away, but he was supposed to buy it at the convention the expo, because they don't call them conventions anymore. He was supposed to buy it at the expo, and he forgot. So it turns out that he had to. He was in charge of a lot of KISS stuff, so he had to actually buy it. Well, he actually had to send it to him. He was already selling the book, so he had to send it to him. But overnight, and overnight cost him a lot of money.
Wow. Interesting stuff.
Let me say, guys, that the book is a must-have. If you're a Kiss fan and you don't yet have it, you got to get it. Like, I will not accept to hear that anyone can call themselves a Kiss fan and does not have this book. Like, even if you're, like, a casual fan, you got to have this book. I mean, it literally has pictures that only Lydia has access to from the pre-Kiss days through all the time that Lydia has been with Kiss and with Peter, and then beyond as well. And the thing that I always thought was amazing is that, Lydia, you kept things in perfect condition, and you had just, like, all kind of cool stuff that you saved. And that, like, you were an archivist before there was such a thing as archiving, and that's, like, what I do for a living. So it was amazing. And I have to say that I had a little preview to the book because, Lydia, like, you had, before you did the book, showed me a lot of your cool stuff. Yeah. And,
well, that's when you used to come over
and
hang out.
Yeah, when I used to hang out.
Yeah.
And
well, that's what encouraged me to, you know, when I saw the enthusiasm that you gave me, that encouraged me. I mean, a lot of other people gave me the same enthusiasm.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the thing. Being an archivist, I really think that there's an importance in preserving historic photos and data and, you know, even like a receipt or something, like, you know, from, I remember you had, like, if there were car, and this stuff you can see in the book, like ticket stubs, but like say the band had to rent like a truck to drive their gear to one of the early gigs, like, you know, sometimes you would have, like, you know, documentation of that, and that is just so cool. That's the kind of stuff that can go into museums, and all this can be seen in the book, guys. So, you know, you have to go get this book, and you can get that at lydiachris.com.
Yes, lydiachris.com, and we'll have links up in today's show notes on talkingmetal.com that'll take you right over to Lydia's,
you know,
site.
Even though I have the hard copy of the book, I want to get the e-version, because that's a really cool thing that I
the
saw.
E-book.
The e-book.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Now, Lydia, recently Peter released a book, your ex-husband, obviously, and you, being such a major part of his life, are obviously a major part of the book. And one thing, there's a lot of things, as I read the book, that knowing you and knowing how cool you are, I kind of was like, I can't believe he's, like, saying this, and this is actually coming across as mean, and it kind of actually upset me a little bit. But having said that, there were other things that I felt like he did give you credit for. Like, he mentions that in the beginning days of Kiss, he didn't, and even before Kiss, he didn't work, and you were totally supporting him. So, guys, you have to remember that if Lydia wasn't paying the bills for Peter, there's a good possibility he may have had to get a job and may have never ended up in Kiss. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's always said, I'm going to be a musician, and you know, that's what I accepted when I married him. I had no idea the things that, I mean, I kind of felt what went on, you know, in the business. But I was, you know, I definitely, you know, he was a musician that only played, like, you know, in local clubs and stuff like that. You know, they tour a little bit, but they weren't, you know, they didn't have an album or anything. And I, you know, I was the one that was working. He would stay home. I'd leave him in bed. He'd be, you know, up, you know, during the day, doing whatever musically. I don't know what he was doing, but I'd come home. Luckily, sometimes he'd cook me dinner. You know, most of the time I did. But you know, I mean, it was a nice relationship. I mean, I loved him to death. I mean, what could I say? I wouldn't have been with him for 10 years if I didn't. I mean, I was with him actually 13 years, but married 10. And yeah, I mean, I supported him because I felt he was I felt he was going to make it. I felt that there was something there.
And one thing he says in the book is he does credit you for financially supporting him, but he also credits you as one of the few people who were showing up to those early Kiss gigs, and helping. I can't remember exactly, but you helped out in many other ways, supporting the band Kiss in those early crucial days.
Yeah, well, I used to go around with my girlfriend Terry and put posters up on lampposts and tree trunks, and we would be on storefront. You know, we went with the Scotch tape, the hammer, and the nails, and we were all over the place.
And you helped with the T-shirts
place.
Too. Did you help?
Oh, yeah. Well, I did
you
that.
You made clothing too.
Yeah. Clothing, in the beginning, yeah. I made the first T-shirt, the first Kiss T-shirt, and. I also made one for Peter. I made one for Gene. I made one for all my friends. You know, I mean, I did a lot of that. And then my mother used to, some of the clothes that you see Peter wearing, not Kiss stuff, but like the earlier stuff, my mother used to make a jacket for him, and I'd make the pants. And, you know, I mean, there's a photo of him. I think it might be at the Diplomat or the Daisy. I'm not sure. He's wearing these gold lame pants. Hot pants. I made them. Oh, actually, at the Bratz Loft, he's wearing them too.
Oh, nice, yeah.
No, I know exactly what outfits.
I made the pants. I mean, my mother was a seamstress, and I learned a lot from her. So, I helped in that way. I didn't make anything for Ace or Paul. You know, Ace had his mother make some stuff for him, and Paul made his own stuff. And but I did make the one thing for Gene. You know, the Gene when he wears the Kiss T-shirt with the logo that I made.
That's yours. Wow, yeah. Lydia, that's cool.
And were you upset by some of the things he said in the book?
Well, I was upset. Of course, you know, you have to be upset when you think that somebody loves you and then you find out other things. But I think Peter. Was getting even with me, maybe, for certain things I wrote in my book. But the thing is, my stuff is the truth, and I don't believe Peter tells the truth. Peter's a big exaggerator. He's a liar, and he's always been that way. And I think Peter's delusional. So that's all I can say. He thinks that there's something. I mean, there was a story in his book about something about James Cagney, and he was shooting with the cops out in Connecticut. And... yeah, I don't think that ever happened, but I think it happened maybe.
That's a big story in the book, too. Yeah.
I think it might have happened to a smaller extreme, and he just blows everything up out of proportion. But that's Peter. You know, I mean, he's always, I've always corrected him, and he always used to hate that, especially around my family. He used to exaggerate to the point where it was so untrue that I couldn't let him just get away with it. So. What can I say? You know, even the story about Gene Simmons calling on the phone and asking, what do you look like? You know, he says we were having a party. There was no party.
Right.
We were putting wallpaper up. And we're putting the mural that's in my book. You'll see the mural in my book. His mother and father were putting the mural up, and his brother was there and I was there. That was it. There was five of us. Peter said there was a party. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm remembering that that he writes in the book that he was partying and you know, and he was like,
but he's told this lie for many, many years. Right. Even Gene and Paul think that it's true,
right?
Because he's told that lie to Gene and Paul,
right?
You know, that there was a party going on, and there wasn't.
When's the last time you spoke with Gene Simmons?
The last time I spoke with Gene Simmons, I believe was at the Kiss. Convention, the official Kiss convention. I believe that's the last time I actually spoke to him.
I was there with you that day. It was me.
And it was at Roseland? Was that at Roseland?
Yeah. And Bill May?
I was at that too.
Jeanette. Yeah. That was actually, I think, the last time I spoke to Gene or Paul. Yeah, I've seen them since then, but on stage.
Gotcha. Good. I would take another Blue Moon.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
You're good.
You're welcome. I wanted to also ask you if you could just share some memories about Sean Delaney before we started the interview tonight. You mentioned, I didn't realize that post your divorce from Peter, you really weren't in touch with him until you ran into him at one point. So let's talk a little bit about Sean, who he was, and your relationship with him.
Okay. Sean Delaney was a really, really cool person. I mean, I was in touch with him after I got divorced from Peter.
In Peter's book, he makes it sound like Sean went with was on your side, not his side.
Well,
yeah.
Sean's the one that actually. I mean, I knew Peter. I mean, you know, come on, Peter's out in California for 8 months, and you know, I mean, I knew there was something going on. I knew that our marriage was on the rocks. I mean, and Sean Delaney just you know verified that for me. he told me, you know, that there was somebody else and that I better get the best lawyer in the business. So, but, you know, Sean also was friends with me for a couple of years after that. Well, a couple of, well, maybe a year or two after that. Then I kind of lost touch with him. And then
this guy's kind of just grew apart. Is that what happened?
I don't know what. You know what it is? I think I got married for the second time, and I, you know, it was the 80s, and I kind of wanted to forget about Kiss. And I was, believe it or not, in a relationship with someone that introduced me to more famous people than Peter ever did. Now, I was married to a guy that's best friend was Ian Hunter from Mott the Hoople, and we used to go out all the time together, and he was my best man at my wedding. And I had a different life in the 80s. And then in the 90s, it kind of, you know, well, I got divorced again, and it kind of went back to doing Kiss conventions. Actually, it started to go back to with Kiss conventions, and then I started getting back into Kiss again. And at that time, Kiss was a lot more interesting than they were in the 80s. For some reason, I wasn't interested in them at all.
Right, and I mean, which makes sense, being that, like we've explained before, you were really one of the first fans, if you will, or supporters of the band, you know, so that you would find them again in the 90s, I think makes sense.
And
you know,
I'm trying to think, Lydia, when I first met Sean Delaney, I don't know if it was in an Ace gig or if it was through you, but I remember definitely meeting
him. What happened with Sean was I was coming home one day, and we were in the car, my second husband and myself, and in the same place I'm living now, and we were making a turn. We were stopped at a light, and I see Ace standing across the street with Monique. And I said, wait a minute, there's Ace. So I said, stop this car. And I ran across, and I started talking to him, and he said, I'm playing the Beacon in a couple of days. He said, call Sean Delaney. He gave me Sean's number, and I called him, and that's when Sean and I hooked up again.
Wow. And that was probably around 87 or so.
Well, that's when, well, it was, I photographed it, so it was Rock Soul. No, it was Fraley's Comet.
Right.
Fraley's Comet,
right.
Yeah.
And that's in one of your photos from that event is in Ace's book, and it's also in your book, and it's of Ace and Paul Stanley backstage, or maybe at the party after the show. You had a great photo of Ace on the Live Plus One album on the back cover, so like Ace's photo was taken by you. But I remember that they changed it and they put like a blue tint over it.
They put a blue tint over it, and they asked me if they could do that, and I said, if you think it's going to look better, but it turns out that Ace hated it, I hated it, it looked like he was embalmed.
Right. So that was something that the record company obviously felt like they you know, blue is Ace's color, so they wanted to put a blue
tint. It turned out Ace used to live two blocks from me.
Right.
So that's, you know, we became really good friends. We really hooked up, and we would like, you know, I mean, ever since then, I was good friends with Ace. He had a girlfriend at the time. I became good friends with Jeanette. So we kind of, you know, solidified the relationship again.
Yeah, and I remember, and guys, just to just bring it back to Sean real quick, and then we'll move off of that. He, for all you Kiss fans that may not know, or all you Talking Metal fans that may not know who we're talking about, Sean was basically like the fifth member of the band, I would say.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that came up with the, and Lydia, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, with the blue-black hair, like the moves in Deuce, and a lot of the cool stuff.
Absolutely.
He helped choreograph a lot of the moves.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
Absolutely, because they didn't have moves before Sean. No. He definitely choreographed that. He came up, he brought them all to a magic store, and they came up with this, you know, this the fire, the blood, all that stuff. You know, the flash pods, you know, that was all Sean. That was all Sean. They didn't have that before Sean.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that I met Sean, I think I met him up in Rhode Island for the first time, and I went backstage, and I tried to get backstage, and I had a pass, and I said, hi, I'm, and I watched a video of myself from back then, and oh, God, was I ridiculous, but anyway, I named a couple of names, and he said, you got the right names, and he knew that I was, like, you know, like telling the truth, and he was cool, and I'm just so happy that I had a chance to meet him, and Lydia, I knew that you were, like, really close with him.
No, I was very close. Sean used to stay by me. He, you know, when he lived in Missouri at one time, and then he also lived in Arizona, and of course Utah. But he would call me constantly. You know, once he called me up, he goes, "You're not going to believe this. I'm riding home in the car, and I see a Kiss garage sale."
Wow.
And he put me on the phone with these guys,
wow,
and I wound up meeting them at a Kiss convention years later. Years later, yeah.
I got a question regarding. Now, Sean was in the Scat Brothers, right?
Yes.
That was his band.
Yes.
Was Richie the drummer of Scat Brothers?
Richie was the drummer of the Scat Brothers,
that's
yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Richie Fontana.
Right.
He's my boyfriend. Yeah, and I've been going out with him now for 11 years.
That's amazing.
Wow,
it's
that long. Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
Yep.
And Richie played on Paul's solo
album. Yeah. His first solo album.
Right.
Yeah, he played the first four songs.
Wow. Very
interesting. And Richie used to also be in Piper with Billy Squire.
Yeah. He was Piper, which is an Acorn management band. And he also played with Laura Branigan.
Excellent. Yeah. And what is he up to anything musically now?
Well, Richie has MS, so right now he writes and he's trying to get his stuff, you know, to other musicians. He's got some great songs. He did a CD.
Yeah, the Steady on the Steel.
Steady on the Steel.
Through LydiaChris.com.
Yes, yeah. And he's trying to get some of the country stuff. He has one song that's kind of country.
Cool.
He's trying to get it to there's one country artist... what's the one that was on Trump show? The one that won. The one that won. Trace Atkins. Yeah. He thinks it would be perfect for Trace.
Cool.
Yeah.
No, Richie's great. You guys, let me tell you, go pick up Steady on the Steel. You can get that at LydiaChris.com in the products section. And Richie is just a super cool guy and a great drummer. And me being
he plays everything on that album.
He not only plays drums, but
he plays
all
piano,
the
plays guitar. He's a good musician. Yeah, he's like a little Paul McCartney.
Very cool. Yeah. And he has, like, I think the best hair. Me, who's hair challenged, wishes I had Richie's hair.
This week, we're talking metal, so we need to mention that Black Sabbath released a new CD with Ozzy singing. It's landed at number one. Do you remember when Kiss was on the road with Black Sabbath? And did you hear any stories? Or did you go out with them at all at that time?
No. Actually, I never. I mean, I've met Ozzy throughout the years. Actually, I met Ozzy with Ian Hunter, but I, you know, because they're both British.
Yeah, and I think Ozzy covered all the young dudes. Did he with
did
Ian?
He?
I thought Ian Hunter. Don't quote me on this. Google it. But I think Ian Hunter may have actually been on the song with Ozzy.
It's possible. But I've met Ozzy a couple of times. I've even photographed him, believe it or not, with George Martin in Tower Records. But I don't remember Black Sabbath. I mean, there were times where I couldn't go on the road because I was working. You know, I had to pay those bills.
Right.
And I couldn't go on the road. I do remember they played with Black Oak Arkansas, and I know that there was a... Yeah, there was. They almost got thrown off the bill because they burnt Peter's exploding drumsticks burnt their curtain.
Right. Oh wow.
So,
see, that's a really rare thing because you know, most people haven't seen old videos with the exploding drumsticks and stuff. And that's very cool. Now, was Jim Dandy the singer of Black Oak, Arkansas? Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was Tommy Aldridge on drums, too.
Wow.
Right. Went on
very
to play with Ozzy.
You know what, guys? Lydia has. I swear to God, I was very lucky to have ran into you at a concert, which is where we first met, you know, in New York when I moved here, because I really feel I got, like, a great New York education from Lydia.
I went to school in Manhattan, so I was a little girl when I, you know, came to the city, and my uncle used to take me to...
And you came here from Brooklyn, right?
I came from Brooklyn,
Were you in Williamsburg?
No. I lived in... I was born in Ridgewood, and then I moved to Bedford-Stuyvesant, which is on the Bushwick and Bedford-Stuyvesant border. I lived in Projects. Then I moved to Cypress Hills, which is on the border of Cypress Hills and... East New York, and then I moved to Canarsie when I got married with Peter. Yeah, but I'm from Brooklyn, and the first time I lived in the city was in 1975, and But I went to school, even as a little girl. I went to high school in Manhattan, and I just fell in love with the architect and the whole thing about New York City. My uncle and my aunt used to take us to the city all the time. You know, my mother had five children, so she couldn't do too much, you know, taking us. You know, she was busy. But my uncle and aunt used to take us because they were never married, and we got to love Manhattan, and I always wanted to live here. And I fulfilled that dream. That was one of my dreams, and I fulfilled that because I've lived here for over 30 years. So,
Lydia, I won't say where you live, but you have a great apartment at a really great part of New York City,
right.
A great neighborhood.
I live right near Central Park West.
Yeah, right near.
I mean, I'm steps from the park, but I live in a brownstone, and my building is over 100 years old, so
wow.
I just love it.
Does Anton Figg still live across the street?
Anton still lives across the street, yes. Yep.
Kind of ironic, being that Anton played, you know.
Anton's been living there longer than me.
Wow.
Being Anton played on a couple of his.
Unmasked, which had Peter's, you know, image on it, and Dynasty, for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always have to say that Lydia's place, without a doubt, is the coolest apartment I've ever been in New York City. Without a doubt. Hey, we got to do something we haven't done yet, a talking metal toast. Okay.
Cheers.
Well, Lydia, it's been great having you on, and I don't want to... I have some sad news, which I have to announce, which I know John's going to be upset about. He hasn't heard it yet. But before we get to that sad news, let's talk about some sad news that happened to you yesterday. You lost a friend. Can you talk about who that was?
Yeah, Mick Campese.
And I guess John was friendly with him, too, actually.
Mick Campese passed away. Mick Campese was Peter's drum tech for many years, and then he became an associate with the coin management. You know, he eventually, you know, hired and fired people. I think he hired Paul Chavarria, I think. Yeah, that was at one point. But Mick Campese was a sweetheart. I had lost touch with him for many years and then hooked up with him.
On his Facebook picture.
Well, his Facebook page is me and him at Bill of Coins Memorial.
Oh, okay.
He put that up there.
See, I didn't know him then, but I saw him in Vegas. And it's weird because I was at Bill of Coins Memorial, but both of them.
Well, Mick Campese lived in Boston. He's from Houston originally. He lived in Boston, for many, many years, and all of a sudden he decided to move to Vegas. Right. So he moved to Vegas about, I don't know, maybe less than a year ago, and we always kept in touch. We talked on the phone, we emailed, we Facebook, whatever, and he stayed at my apartment. You know, he's another one. You know, it's like Lydia's couch. Everybody loves to stay on Lydia's couch. I mean, Bill of Coin stayed on my couch. But anyway, Mick was on his way to Europe. He used to go to Europe every June and July, and then he'd come back in the middle of August. And I think a friend of his had a timeshare that they would just go the entire time. And I thought he was in Europe. And then I get an email from Cindy Domino, who was Frank Domino's wife, Frank Domino from Angel. And she tells me that he fell when he was in Boston, and maybe the cobblestone streets. I read that somewhere. Yeah, and he broke his shoulder and his elbow, and then he had to have an operation. And then from the operation, he got an infection, and within 24 hours, he was gone. I mean, I only found out. All right, he died yesterday. I found out the day before that he was even in the hospital. He was in rehab, like, you know, doing his thing, you know, therapy, doing physical therapy, and then all of a sudden he was gone.
I can't. I'm sorry for you, Lydia, because you've known him forever, and
I've known him almost 40 years.
Yeah, and I literally just started to correspond with him, and when I was out in Las Vegas at Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, Mick and I corresponded, and then he came down to the grand finale where Ace played with the band, and he sat right by us the whole time.
Wow. So Ace,
I just saw him.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
not
yeah.
That long. I mean, like a couple of months ago.
Yeah,
I was with him. And even my girlfriend Lynn, like she was there, and I said, "You're not going to believe this." I said, out of Las Vegas, we met like two people or something, and Mick was one of them. And I said, "He passed away." She couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. But
I can't believe it either. Yesterday, I was on the computer all day talking to everybody, and then I finally talked to someone that I met because of. I met her at. I was doing a thing called 100 Rock Stars. In New Jersey, and I met this girl named Lucinda, and she's known Mick since she's 18 or 17 or 16, you know, out in California. She lives in New York now, and we both just literally cried our eyes out on the phone together. We were just, you know, she couldn't believe it. I mean, nobody can believe it. You know, it's just, you know, it's sad when people die, but it's sadder when they die so quickly.
Right.
You know, it's
totally
just
unexpected.
Totally unexpected, right? I mean, there was nothing wrong with him. He was on his way to Europe. I thought he was in Europe. And, you know, so anyway, that's my Mick.
Wow.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
And I want to dedicate this, if you can say that, I can dedicate this interview to Mick.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Mick. Let's do a...
We should play...
Is it appropriate to do a toast to Mick?
Sure.
To Mick.
Kiss song, one of your favorites. It doesn't have to be a Peter song.
I'm going to guess.
And then I want to tell you some news, which
okay.
I'm afraid to tell you because I'm
okay.
going to be upset about it.
I bet I will be.
All right, what are you going to guess?
I'm going to guess Nothing to Lose. No, okay.
No way. No. All right, I have a few favorites. One is Do You Love Me? Strutter. And I Was Made for Loving You, even though a lot of fans don't like that. All right, those are the Paul vocals, and then the Peter vocals is Hard Luck Woman and Beth.
Oh, okay. Well, Beth, of course, which is, okay.
You want to do Strutter?
Why don't you pick one of those? Let's do Strutter. Yeah, Strutter's a classic. It starts out with the Peter Gray drum fill, or drum figure, they would say.
Paul and I used to actually... There were times when Paul and I used to dance to Strutter, even though he was on stage. He was singing Strutter.
We
would do the thing back and forth.
Choreographed by Sean, right?
Yeah, choreographed by Sean, right.
Very good. Guys, I got some sad news that just came in. I know you're a big Sopranos fan. Were you a fan of the Sopranos TV show?
I didn't get to see it, but I know a little about it.
Very sad news that James Gandolfini has passed after a heart attack at age 51. So, very sad news just coming over. He was in Italy and passed on. You can see pictures of John out at the house where they would shoot some of that. And I know that's your favorite TV show of all time.
Yeah.
Mine too, possibly.
I can't believe that, man.
But very sad. I'm kind of upset about it myself. So on that note, let's do one more Talking Metal toast.
To James
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, very sad. New Jersey native. On that note, we're very thankful to Lydia for coming on the show. We want you guys to support her. Go to LydiaChriss.com.
LYDIA. CRISS, because some people put the H in Chris and some people spell my name with an I, but it's LYDIA.
Cool. So. And we will have it linked through the show notes. And support what Lydia does by purchasing a copy of Sealed with a Kiss.
Guys,
a must for all Kiss fans.
Will not be disappointed. I mean, if you don't have it, like, you're not a Kiss fan. I'm just going to go and say that. You got to get the book. It's just unbelievable. There's just so many photos. And like, what Lydia has to say in the book is, in my opinion, as important as the photos. It's just amazing. And Lydia, I'm so proud of you for putting this book out. And I thank you because you put my name in it. In this special thanks. So thank you so much. And it's awesome. I think Lydia can get a job as consultant in how to do a book after this.
Yeah, no doubt.
And right now, here is Strutter by Kiss.